Entering the Raphael rooms of the Vatican Museums, you will find two famous frescoes over the doors before you get into the Sistine Chapel, and they face each other. To the right is what is called the School of Athens. The painting shows the great men of the pre-Christian world pondering the great questions of life. They are using their own admittedly vast intellects, but are doing so without the supernatural aid of revelation, without that infinite intellect of the Almighty. In the painting, they are seen pondering, often exasperated. The earliest of the philosophers, such as Thales, who believed that the answer to everything in life was water, is depicted sitting in frustration. While later philosophers like Aristotle and Plato, who came so close to the truth, are seen walking in deep conversation together. On the opposite wall, you will find its counterpart, also painted by Raphael, the Disputation of the Holy Sacrament. Here, in an almost mirror image, you will find a grouping of persons, but now, instead of gathered in a library, they have the Eucharist and a monstrance, sitting upon an altar in their midst. The Blessed Trinity and the Holy Court are above, and below are Christians, both great thinkers and humble believers alike, and they point to the truth upon the altar. We have reached the end today of the Bread of Life discourses that we've been reading these past 5 weeks. Jesus has gently led those first followers and us along with them through the teachings about the Eucharist. He began by giving the sign of feeding their bodies with the loaves and the fish. Then, having filled them and sparked their faith, he taught them about a far more precious, lasting, and eternal food, the bread of life. Christ has explained in the Gospels these past weeks that in order to have life eternal, we must eat his body and drink his blood. His followers balked at this, and rather than soften that teaching, he has remained steadfast in his proclamation. Jesus, who would never let a sheep become separated from him due to a misunderstanding, does not soften or explain away his teaching. He means exactly what he has said. No symbolism, no parable. This is a time when Christ demonstrates what he meant when he said he brings not peace, but the sword. Here the sword makes a precision cut between those that cannot accept the hard sayings of Jesus and those who can, even if they do not completely understand them. And those are the ones who remain, the ones who cannot walk away. For we read, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. The teaching was not what they wanted, and so they left. And they've continued to leave throughout history. The Oxford World Christian Encyclopedia estimates that as of 2001, when the most recent edition was published, there were 33,820 Protestant denominations, with an average of 5 new denominations founded every week. Each one believes something a little different than the others, and they can't all be right. The truth is objective, and the truth is a person named Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has told us very clearly in these passages that the Eucharist is not just a symbol or a memorial meal or a sacred feast. It is his body and blood, soul and divinity. In contrast to the disciples who found the Eucharist too difficult to believe and the churches that followed in that tradition over the centuries, we have the person of Peter and the Catholic Church. Peter did not stick around because, unlike everyone else, he completely understood and agreed with what Jesus was teaching. He remained because he believed in the person of Christ as the Son of God. When Christ asked the apostles, those first bishops, and Peter, the first pope, if they were going to leave as well, Peter did not say, speaking on behalf of the others, No, Lord, unlike the others, we understand what you are saying, and we accept it completely. No, rather he said, To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. That is what made Peter the rock upon which our church was built. And we have remained a single church, unwavering in our teachings for 2,000 years because of that very foundation. Jesus presented to his disciples the doctrine of the body of Christ. Some walked away, but Peter, on behalf of the 11 faithful apostles, said amen. And that is the exact same amen that we say when we are presented with the body of Christ at communion. And have you ever wondered why we call it communion? Not reception of the Eucharist, not distribution of the host, but communion, with union. It is because when we come forward to receive, we are proclaiming our close union with Christ and with his church. When we say amen, we are not simply expressing our belief in the Eucharist, but in the totality of the church's teachings. We are saying amen to the Nicene Creed professed earlier. We are accepting the moral teachings of the church. We are reaffirming our belief in the hierarchy and magisterium, which has guided our church through these many centuries. We are, in that moment, being Peter. This is why those who do not share our belief, such as members of other Christian churches, are not able to receive communion. We do this out of respect for their own closely held and sincere beliefs. For them to say amen to the Eucharist and to receive it would be to renounce their own faith and to declare the truth of Catholicism. And we look to another person in that company of apostles that day in Galilee. That person is Judas. Yes, there are those who remain in the church but are not in communion. Those who remain but should not remain. How many politicians do we have today who undermine the teachings of the church, even while professing that belief for their own gain? This is especially true when it comes to the defense of life in its most vulnerable stages and the defense of the family as the foundation of all society. These are among the Judases of our modern age. And likewise, each of us can turn away from communion with Jesus each time we commit a mortal sin. For this is not simply a moral failing, but it is a complete turning away from the person of Christ, choosing another idol over him. By failing to go to Mass on Sunday of our own free will, by infidelity to our state of life through unchaste activity, and through true or real hatred of another, we cut ourselves off from communion with Christ and his church. In those cases, we need to be reconciled. And how do we do this but in the sacrament of reconciliation? And so, in these 5 weeks, we have been given a gift. The teaching of Christ in the Eucharist has been proclaimed, and our response must be a heartfelt amen, knowing everything that amen entails. We have a choice to make. Do we want to be in that first painting, struggling along with only our own feeble intellects to understand who we are called to be? Or do we want to be in communion with the faithful apostles, led by Peter and gathered around our Eucharistic Lord, and one day to be in that heavenly court to see him face to face in the kingdom of heaven?